Snow and visitors may show up in inverse proportions at Crater Lake, Oregon's only true national park. Last year is a good example. Snow was down, visitors were up, and in fact, they reached a peak in recent history. Let's check in on the numbers and a couple of other doings at Crater Lake with Craig Ackerman, who's the Crater Lake National Park Superintendent. Craig, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning.
So talk about the visitor numbers from last year. How big and how do they compare with what you've had historically?
Well, historically, visitation peaked back in the early 70s, back when camping, backpacking, traveling around the country were very big with families. And then that sort of tapered off through the 80s and 90s. But we've seen a resurgence in people going outside and connecting with nature again. So I've been at Crater Lake since about 2008. When I got there, we were averaging in the high 400,000s for visits. And last year, as we noted, we exceeded about 650,000 visitors. So visitation is up quite a bit.
Wow, that is a big number. And what were some of the contributing factors? I mean, snow appears to be part of this.
Well, snow is certainly a part of it. When we have very heavy snow years, the north entrance coming in from the Bend and Umpqua areas is not open until very late in the season, sometimes late June. But last year, with the virtual lack of snowpack, and I mean literally in February, roads were bare that were typically under 10, 20, or 30 feet of snow. We were able to open both the Annie Creek and Mazama Village areas and the north entrance as early May. So people had access to parts of the park that they typically did not with their vehicles. And then once they got to the park, there were a lot of things that they could do because trails were not covered with 10 or 15 feet of snow.
So wow, that's a lot of time in which roads were open sooner, which raises an interesting question about whether you have any difficulty getting a hold of staffers to be able to staff when you open the facilities that early.
Well, as you know, the facilities are operated both by a National Park Service employee and our contractor, Zantera, which is a concessioner. The Park Service often hires our folks as early as December and January, so it's just simply a matter of letting people know they need to come on a few weeks earlier. Sometimes with the concessioners, folks have contracts at other concession facilities like Death Valley that operate in the winter season, so it's more difficult for them. But we were open on time, and last year we're planning to do so again this year, but the snow will certainly be a factor.
Let's talk about the difference then. You talked about some of the roads being bare in February of last year. This February is a very different story, isn't it?
Absolutely. In the month of January, we had an all-time record snowfall of over 16 feet of snow. And that was, for the month of December. That was just the month of December. Now we're trending at a little over 320 inches of snow for the year, which is already 10 feet more snow than we received in all of last season.
Wow, so that is a big, big difference. I've been looking at some of the webcam shots that you guys offer that refresh, I think, about every 10 minutes or snow. And so 10 minutes or snow, yeah, it seems to snow about every 10 minutes sometimes, but very, very deep up there.
Yeah, typically we have offices on our first floor that get completely covered in snow by the first part of March, and that's been the case for over a month now. You're asking as well what factors went into the visitation besides the early snow loss. Last year we've had a few years before, we've had a lot of cooperation from our travel and tourism partners, and that would be the state of Oregon through their Travel Oregon and the Oregon Travel Commission. You might have seen the Seven Wonders campaign that was issued by them. It was a national award-winning promotional campaign to bring people to the state of Oregon, and Crater Lake was prominently featured in that. And our local partners, Travel Southern Oregon and Discover Klamath, tiered off of those promotions and received literally tens to hundreds of thousands of hits on their promotional websites, and we think that had a lot to do with increasing visitation to the park as well.
Craig Ackerman's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the Crater Lake National Park Superintendent. We're giving a general overview of what's going on in the park and has been for a while now. We will be talking about Crater Lake Wilderness later in this hour, so stay tuned for that part of it. But you can join Craig to talk about the park generally at 800-838-3760 or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Is there something of a saturation point for Crater Lake? Is there a number at which the park would begin to be loved to death, which is the common phrase for national parks?
That is a common phrase. And our challenge with the National Park Service is not necessarily to limit visitation, but to manage it. If it were a matter of limiting visitation, we could simply close gates and tell people enough is enough. There would be a certain point at which a visitor experience would be diminished, and we do not have any specific numbers on that right now. The way we're trying to manage visitation is to disperse it in the summer when there are a lot of people there, and then to encourage more visitation in the winter in the shoulder season. And we're dispersing in the summer by providing a lot more access points for people in the park to experience the resources rather than simply driving to Rim Village, circling the rim on Rim Drive, and going away. So developing new hiking trails, new opportunities, new programs, get people in the park, but then disperse so that they're not all in one location.
All right, since you mentioned hiking trails and new facilities and things like that, this is going to be a busy year, I understand. I was just reading this morning about the amount of road and trail building and construction you'll be doing this year.
Yeah, absolutely. The snow is certainly a mixed blessing or a mixed curse, however you'd like to put that. And this year, it's our centennial year for the National Park Service. The organization turned 100 this year, having been created in 1916. So there are a lot of special events and programs going on. One of them is we have a major event in a Brit orchestra festival program that's going to be going on at the end of July, where a Pulitzer Prize-winning composer, Michael Gordon from New York City, is putting together a symphony written based on the park itself and will be performed in the park by orchestra members and hopefully some members of the local community. That would typically be an area that would be snow-free, but we're still working on making sure we have an alternative for that in case the snow continues to pile up between now and the end of the year. And we also have major construction rebuilding all of the 33-mile Rim Drive around the lake. And our Cleetwood Cove area, main parking area, is being replaced, as well as major repairs to the trail down to the lake itself and the dock and the bulkhead area. All of those will be contingent on when we can get started due to snow levels in May or early June.
So will there be times when people will not be able to get to the boats, or they'll just face delays, or what's the general situation with that trail?
Well, we're hoping that the trail repairs will be made early and that people will be able to get to the lake. There will be some delays, especially with the parking lot being completely replaced, and we are also working on a temporary shuttle that would provide visitors access from the Rim Village and the headquarters area out to the Cleetwood area in case there's not sufficient parking or in case there are other issues with road construction.
All right, so particularly with the parking lot construction at Cleetwood Cove, I mean, this is a place where people do like to park. I've been there and watched the parking lot fill up. How much bigger is it going to be, and how much of a wait situation is it going to be while it's being expanded?
Well, we came up with every alternative we could possibly come up with, and the closing the parking lot was the only realistic one during construction. Otherwise, it would have stretched out over a couple of years, and we didn't want to disrupt visitation that long. So the parking lot itself is going to be expanded only by about 60% in space, but because of the reconfiguration of it, we're hoping to be able to get as much as double the traffic inside there. And if you've ever been to Cleetwood on a summer day, you know that traffic can stretch for a half mile in each section or in each direction around that parking lot because there are just so many people wanting to get down to the lake on a daily basis.
All right. And I understand also there's an invasive plant management plan that is just taking shape now, too.
Yeah, we are. That's become a big we're putting that into place because it's become a big problem not only at Crater Lake but parks throughout the country where we're seeing more and more traffic bringing in more and more invasive species, weed seeds, and spreading into areas of the park where they're very difficult to control sometimes.
Now, this proposal to expand wilderness areas around Crater Lake, I know this does not originate from the Park Service, but does the Park Service weigh in any way with either supporting or not supporting documents or positions?
No, we have our own wilderness proposal, and we generally are prohibited from commenting on proposed legislation. But the wilderness proposal for Crater Lake dates back at least 40, 50 years. And although Congress has never passed it as formal designated wilderness, it's the policy of the National Park Service to manage areas within the park that are either proposed or potential for wilderness as wilderness. So even though there's no designated wilderness inside the park right now, most of the acres of the 184,000 that we have are managed as wilderness currently. So they would have the same restrictions, limitations, and opportunities that wilderness would have if there was a formal designation.
So when you say, when you talk about a proposal, you're talking about the proposals to expand outside the park boundaries?
No, we're talking about proposed wilderness within the park.
Oh, to make it official.
Back in the mid-70s was the most recent proposal, and that went forward to Congress but was not acted upon. So those areas within the park that lie outside the developed areas are, for the most part, managed as wilderness right now.
Okay. Any guesses, Craig Ackerman, on what the visit count might be at Crater Lake this year?
It depends on whether we have weather like this week or whether we go back to December. I would think that if we go back to December numbers, even with the promotions that we're having on, we won't hit the 650,000. The snow melts out and we have a great year, we could hit the same number or even higher this year.
Okay, one of those remains to be seen situations. Craig Ackerman is the superintendent at Crater Lake National Park. Thank you for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you very much.
You bet.